Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum wa walahum bi ihsanin ila yaumiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fil Qur'anil Majid ba'd a'udzu billahi minasy syaithanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wa may tawakkal 'ala Allahi fa huwa hasbuh. Wa qala jalla jalalu ya ayyuhalladzina amanu aminu billahi wa rasulihi. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو توكلتم على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماصا وتروح بطانا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين respected ulama ikram respected elders and brothers we have noticed that over the past few decades or so there has been an explosion of deeni knowledge, of the knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the past, and there are many elders amongst us, and they will bear me out on this, for a person to acquire the knowledge of deen, it is a bit difficult. Ulama were few and far between, there was not so much of literature available. Maybe the Friday Bayan, the big night Bayan, and now and then maybe a visit in Alim to give a talk. But that was it. But we've noticed that over the last few years, there's been explosion of knowledge. We see nowadays literature like never before. Tafsir programs, other Arabic classes like never before. Talks, Bayans like never before. Today, person at the touch of a person is able to access the fatawa, the rulings of hundreds of ulama, hundreds of muftis from the different parts of the world. And with the advent of social media, Facebook, WhatsApp and the rest of it, daily we are bombarded with ayat of Quran, with ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sayings of ulama, the sayings of sahaba and the rest of it. And naturally a person would think that with this ease of access to knowledge of deen, since knowledge is power, knowledge is light, one would think that Muslims and Islam would be thriving, that Muslims and Islam would be at top of the world. But we all know the reality, my dear brothers, the state of the Muslims around the world, the state of the Ummah around the world, is at such a level which perhaps has not been seen in history before. So the question arises, that with all this knowledge, how is it that the Muslim Ummah is still suffering? How is it that the Muslim Ummah is not progressing? And the simple answer to this, my dear brothers, is that because we lack the yaqeen, we lack the conviction, we lack the certitude, and we lack the belief in the teachings of the Quran, we lack belief in the teachings of the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we lack yaqeen, conviction in the teachings of our deen. I mean, how many, or which Muslim person does not know that Allah Ta'ala has made riba haram? Allah Ta'ala has made interest haram. Allah Ta'ala says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba وَيُبِّي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah Ta'ala says, riba, I will cause riba to be destroyed. One dirham or one rand of riba that a person earns, this will cause all his halal wealth to be destroyed. Or all the barakat and all the blessings of his halal wealth to be taken away. And how many times you've heard the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النِّكَاحِ بَرَكَةً أَيْسَرُهُ مَأُونَ. That the nikah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the most blessings in, the most barakah in, is that nikah wherein there is less, the least expenses incurred. But despite hearing these teachings of the medieval today, we notice that how extravagant our marriage functions are, and how extravagant our ceremonies are. And how many times you've heard the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person who misses one salah, then that person will have to remain in Jahannam for one hukub. One hukub means 80 years. For each salah a person misses, you have to spend 80 years in the fire of Jahannam. But despite hearing all his hadith, why are we not changing our lives? And why is not these ahadith and these ayat of Quran not impacting upon our lives and the lives of the ummah? Is because we lack yaqeen, conviction and belief in these teachings of our deen, in the teachings of Quran, the teachings of Sunnah, the warnings of Quran, the warnings of Sunnah. It's like a person who has a very, very beautiful house. And in that house he has all state-of-the-art appliances, be it his kitchen appliances, be it aircons, and the rest of it. All state-of-the-art brand new appliances he has. But in that home, there is no current running, there is no power running, there is no electricity running. Then those appliances are useless, of no use whatsoever. Likewise, when we have all of these ahadith before us, and all of these teachings of Quran before us, but the spark of iman is not there, the spark of iman is not ignited in our hearts, then all of these ahadith and all of these teachings of Quran and Sunnah will fall upon deaf ears. But look at the lives of Sahaba, my dear brothers. Look at the lives of Sahaba. What yaqeen, what conviction they had in the teachings of Quran and teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Once a person comes to our master Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he tells him, O Abu Darda, ihtaraka baytuk. Abu Darda, your house has burned down. Abu Darda is cool, he's calm, he's collected. Very calmly he says, mahtaraka bayti. My house has not burned down. Another person comes and tells him, O Abu Darda, ihtaraka baytuk. O Abu Darda, your house has burned down. Again, Abu Darda says, mahtaraka bayti. My house has never ever burned down. A third person comes to him, Abu Darda, ihtaraka baytuk. Abu Darda, your house has burned down. He says, mahtaraka bayti. My house has not burned down. People go investigate, and they found that the houses around his house have burned down, but the house of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu has not burned down. They come back to him. They ask Abu Darda, how is it that you are so convinced that your house has not burned down? He says, my beloved friend, my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me a dua. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant, alayka tawakkaltu wa anta rabbul arshi al-azim. Ma sha'a Allahu kan, wa ma lam yasha' lam yakun. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. A'lamu anna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir, wa anna Allah qad ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi, wa sharri kulli dabbatin anta akhidhun bi nasiyatiha. Inna rabbi ala siratin mustaqim. My beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me this dua. And he told me, that person, man qaraha fi awwali naharihi, lam tusibhu musibatun hatta yumsiya. Wa man qaraha fi awwali laylihi, lam tusibhu musibatun hatta yusbiha. O kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person will read this dua at the morning, in the beginning of the day, then no calamity will befall him until evening. And that person who reads this dua in the evening, then no calamity will befall him until the morning. I have read this dua, and I have full conviction in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why I am convinced that my house has not burned down. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala is on his deathbed. He's about to pass away. The Khalifa of the time, Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, comes to him. And he tells him, Ibn Mas'ud, ماذا تشتكي? Oh, Ibn Mas'ud, what are you complaining of? What is your ailment? He says, "Dhunubi," that I am complaining of my sins. He says, "Mawmada tashtahi," at this juncture, what do you really want and desire? He says, "Wajha Rabbi," I desire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala amuruka bi tabibin. Oh, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, should I not call some physician? Should I not call some doctor to come to see to you, to come to tend to you? He says, "At-tabibu amradani." The same person, the same doctor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doctor, he is the one who has made me sick. He says, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, should I not command that some money be taken from the Baytul Mal, from the treasury, and be given to you? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu says, Oh, Uthman, I'm shocked at this juncture in my life, when I'm leaving dunya, and I'm going towards akhirah, going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this juncture of my life, what need do I have towards wealth? What need do I have towards wealth? Uthman bin Affan tells him that perhaps you can leave something behind for your family, for them to benefit, for your daughter to benefit, for your wife to benefit. He says, my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that person who reads Surah Waqi'ah in the evening, lam yastaqir, no poverty will befall that person. Alhamdulillah, I have taught my daughters Surah Waqi'ah, and I have full yaqeen in the conviction, full yaqeen and conviction in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that no poverty will befall my household. My dear brothers, when there is the spark of iman, when there is the spark of iman in that heart, then a little bit of fuel is required to ignite that heart. But Today we, despite hearing all the hadith and all the ayat of Quran, because of that iman, the spark of iman not being in our heart, that is why these ahadith and these words of Quran and Sunnah have no effect in our lives. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran about the Bani Israel, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَكَ الْحِجَارَةُ أَوْ أَشَدُّ فَهِيَكَ الْحِجَارَةُ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةُ. Allah Ta'ala says, then the heart of the Bani Israel became hard. And it became so hard, it became as hard as stone. Allah says, rather it became harder than stone. My dear respected elders and brothers, we find that the problem for our difficulties today, and the problem for, the reason for our problems today, is because we lack this yaqeen and conviction. And until we do not put this yaqeen and conviction right, then none of our problem will be solved. It's like a person goes to a doctor, and he goes to the doctor is not feeling well. The doctor checks him up. And then tells him, you have this problem and this problem and this problem. And the doctor does nothing to treat the sick person. Ask you, my dear brothers, is this of any benefit to the person? Likewise today, there are certain people in Ummat who will sit behind and they pick every single fault of the Ummat. The Ummat has this problem and this problem and this problem. Many times, as they call them, keyboard warriors, at behind the safety of the keyboards, pick every fault of the Ummat, but not become part of the solution and not look to help the Ummat. Is this of any benefit to the Ummat? And then you have another doctor, he goes to the doctor, doctor, I have a pain in my head. Doctor prescribes something for him. Doctor, I have a pain in my stomach. The doctor prescribes some treatment for the pain in the stomach. Only treats his symptoms. Likewise, maybe we have people in Ummat who will take one isolated incident or one isolated situation and prompt Ummat and will begin to jump and scream and boycott and the rest of it. We do not question the intention of these people, but what we do question is that, is this the right solution to the problems of the Ummat? And then, my dear brothers, you have that doctor which a person goes to. Doctor, I have a pain in my head. Doctor, I have a pain in my stomach. The doctor tells him, the pain in your head and the pain in your stomach is as a result of an underlying sickness that you have, a virus that is in your body. Treat the virus and the headache will go away. Treat the virus and the stomach ailment will go away. Likewise, my dear brothers, if this Ummat again will put its yaqeen and its conviction correct, again come back to the teachings of Quran and Sunnah with full yaqeen and full conviction, then all the problems of the Ummat will be removed. That is why, my dear brothers, the effort of Dawud and Tabligh is taking place. Alhamdulillah, through the efforts of Dawud and Tabligh, all this ingash, the outgash, going out the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ijtima that is taking place. What is the purpose of all of this? Somebody asked Mawlana Yasir rahmatullah alayhi, that tum kya chahte ho? That you are calling people to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this effort of da'wah and tabligh you are making. What is your goal? What do you want of all of this? What did Jawab believe? He said, that day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, that very, very sad day, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, when he moved his curtain and he looked at his ummah, at his sahaba standing in salah, the smile that appeared on his face out of happiness for his sahaba, at the out of happiness of the levels of yaqeen and iman in the heart of sahaba, at that time what was the level of iman and yaqeen in the heart of sahaba? Through this effort of da'wah and tabligh, I wish to once again reignite those levels of yaqeen, the levels of a certitude and conviction in the hearts of the Ummat. And alhamdulillah, my dear brothers, over the past few decades, through the effort of Dawud and Tabligh, there is a revolution taking place in the world. There is, under the radar, there is a revolution taking place in the world. People are changing, countries are changing. Not so long ago, a person came to our madrasa from Madinah, from Makkah Mukarramah, a descendant of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a quite elderly man. So he was explaining to us that he, in his young days, he's now retired, in his young days, he was he worked for the Saudi Arabian Airlines company. And he says, as a young trainee, he and a group of young Saudi youngsters had to travel to Germany for training. He says, when they landed in Germany, they were welcomed by a group of young German girls in swimsuits. All of them were holding up placards and they were saying, welcome Saudi Arabian Airlines cadets that arrived there for training. So he says, these young girls were there to see to all of our needs. He says, you probably perhaps understand what I'm saying. They're there to see to all of our needs. He said, alhamdulillah, in my life, I never ever committed zina. But these women were there to see to all of our needs. He says, they did their training and went back to their country. And he says, many, many decades later, and he told us at that time, When he traveled for training, there was barely a masjid in Germany, barely a place to perform salah. Very, very difficult to find halal food. He says, we went back to Saudi Arabia, and decades later, for the purpose of Dawat and Tabligh, I now went back to Germany. And he says, during these decades, he says, Dawat and Tabligh had now entered Germany, effort was taking place in Germany. He says, the first time I went there, we were greeted by young German girls. He says, now we go back, and which group is there to meet me? He says, young boys, mashallah, wearing sunnat libas, fair complexion, blue eyes, blonde hair, turbans on their heads, pants above their ankles, and wearing the sunnat libas. And he says, I asked them that now, how many places of worship do you have in Germany, and Islamic centers, rest of it? Says the person told me approximately 3,000 Islamic, we have madrasas, masajid, other things as well. So I could not believe my ears. I told him, perhaps you're making a mistake. Perhaps it's 300. He says, no, 3,000, 3,000. So my dear brothers, through the effort of Dawat and Tabligh, silently under the radar, entire revolution is taking place in the world. Likewise, another brother from Makkah Mukarramah came to our madrasa. He came to our madrasa. He says he lives in a very, very poor area of Makkah Mukarramah, on a mountain. And he says in the area there was a youngster by the name of Umar. He says this person was a mountain of a man, a huge person. And he says, what was the problem, Umar? That he and his gang, they would sit opposite the masjid the entire day. Sit opposite the masjid and they would drink. In Makkah Mukarrama, they would sit and drink. And this Umar would carry with him a big dagger and a big stick. And any person had to tell him anything, he was not shy to use the dagger on that person, or was not shy to beat up that person, use a stick on this person. So this brother who came to our madrasa, he told us that I was that brave coward. This is the word he used. I was the brave coward. I was brave because I plucked up the courage to speak to Umar. But I was a coward because I did so from the safety of my car with my window just wound down just a little. So he says, the first day I came, I drove up to him. I made salam to him. He says, he gave me a ferocious look. He says, I drove off. The second day again I came. He says, I made salam. Assalamu alaikum. Again, this person gave me a look. But he said, today I noticed the look was not as ferocious as the day before. He says, a few times I did this. See, after some time, I met up with an accident, and my car had gone to the workshop for repairs. He said, I was deep in thought. I was walking towards the masjid. I was deep in thought. I was thinking of, I have to have sort of this with my car and that with my car. He said, before I know it, yeah, I'm standing before Umar. I'm standing before Umar, and he's looking at me. So he said, I spoke to Umar, daily I greet you. Daily I greet you, and you do not reply to my salams. He said, I shook his hand, and I told him that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that when two Muslim brothers meet for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they shake hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all the sins of these people. He says, when he heard this hadith from me, he refused to let go of my hand. I'm pulling my hand away from him, and he's putting my hand towards me. And they told Umar, today you are invited, you have da'wat. He says, I did not hear anyone inviting me or calling me. He says, did you not hear the muadhin say, Hiya ala salah, hiya ala falah. Do you accept the da'wat, and do you accept the call of muadhin? He says, today, after many, many years of hearing the adhan, today I accept the da'wat of the muadhin. And he says, I came with him for salah, he came with me for salah. He says, a few days had passed. Well, he told his mother one night, Umar told his mother one night, my mother, please wake me up tomorrow morning, it is Friday, I want to perform my Fajr Salah in the masjid. He says that morning he woke up, he put on his finest clothing, he put on his finest itar, and then he went and proceeded to the masjid. He says that morning in Fajr Salah, in Sajda, this very same Umar passed away and returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This brother told us, عَمِلَ قَلِيلًا وَحَصَلَ كَثِيرًا. He said he did very, very few a'mal in his life. Very, very few good a'mal in his life. But he had earned a lot from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, the effort of Dawat and Tabligh that is taking place. Tomorrow, inshallah, all of us will know that our ijtima is taking place in Pietermaritzburg. Saturday, Sunday, and will be terminated on Monday, inshallah. My dear brothers, the purpose of ijtima is not some sort of political movement. Or not some sort of ideology that is trying to be put forward. Rather, the purpose of ijtima, my dear brothers, is that against وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And Allah says, all of you together, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repent to Allah ta'ala for your sins. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for failing to realize who you are. We, the Muslims, are Khalifatullah fil ard. We are the representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. Allah has sent us here with a purpose that in our way, whichever way possible, we put forward the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We present the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tomorrow, my dear brothers, ijtima is taking place. The minimum benefit of ijtima, my dear brothers, is that we will get to read our salah in jamaat, in a big congregation. Allah Nabi has taught us that that person who reads salah in congregation, then the salah is multiplied up to 27 times. So my dear brothers, that is the minimum benefit a person will get from attending the ijtima. And my dear brothers, many talks are taking place. Sit down, as much time as we can give to the ijtima. Sit down, at least even if it be one talk, sit down and listen carefully to what is being said. Inshallah, through this, inshallah, Allah will inspire our hearts. And inshallah, if each person gets inspired, and again the yaqeen and the conviction comes into his heart upon the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and teaching of the Quran, that will bring about a revolution in the world. Allah give us understanding.